I know Isaac's got some plans going out west here.
Yeah, Isaac's up first. Yeah, I leave in 12 days. Man. 12 days from now, me and Dylan are headed to a western state to hunt high country mule deer.
A western state.
A western
state. Okay.
Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Wild Time Talk Show. Today, we are at the Medina County Fair in the Wilderness Adventures booth. This is episode 8, and we are sitting down with our third and fourth guest of the show. But in counterclockwise order, to my right is
Gavin Gray.
And across are
Isaac Simon.
Caleb Simon.
And we're up here. Just both have booths for the week.
Yep.
If you're at the Medina County Fair, you might have seen us or... you might have seen this post about it on social media this week. It's a little thing they've been doing for the past year and a half. It's been a good turnout so far this week.
I think more than last year.
Yeah, more than last year.
It's definitely busier, I think.
And we've got the busiest part of the week ahead of us, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
This all kind of started because Medina County is such a huge outdoor-related county, and there was nothing for the outdoorsmen at the fair. Yeah. Nope. Nothing at all.
No, they had nothing for years here that really catered to sportsmen or anyone that had any interest in the outdoors or, you know.
So. Yeah, there's a – the similar to last year, they didn't do the kind of Medina County Big Buck.
The wall.
Pillar, the wall, whatever you want to call it.
I think that wall was giving away too many secrets.
Right.
Yeah, people right. There was a lot of good deer on that wall.
There was. I liked that. But, there's kind of a North American animal spin to it this year. Yeah.
I can see it from where I'm sitting here. We got caribou, a couple of whitetails, a couple of full-strut turkeys, a lot of ducks. I think Jay, or someone told me, I think it was, most of those animals were donated by Cabela's. Cabela's, I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I'm going to have to talk to Jason. So Jason Salzer is the one that has put this together or helped put this together the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to talk to him about that display next year coming up with something.
Yeah, we got
to
make that better.
Yeah. The big buck one from last year was better.
I thought. Oh, yeah. I like that.
There
was,
how many deer were there? 60 plus?
Yeah, at least 50 plus. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and really it was real cool.
Yeah. Yep. I like the full body mounts in there. I mean, that wolf, but.
That one is you could enormous. Have all those full body mounts and still have done the
exactly.
Still had the big wall behind it.
Yeah.
But there's a fishing tank up here too. Kids can fish in.
That's been a big hit.
Yeah, that's been a big hit.
They run to it when they open the doors. The kids literally run.
Yeah, yeah. Right at 3 o'clock, and they got to kick people out of here at 7. So
yeah.
BB guns shooting, airsoft. There's
I hear the airsoft's cool. Games. I hear the airsoft's cool. I haven't been over there yet.
Though. So,
can you actually shoot the guns over there?
Yeah, like they have a Gail Miller, when she was over here talking, mm-hmm. she said that they time you. There's like a timed course.
Oh, really?
You got to shoot all the targets. And like the record time so far this week is like 13.4. Awesome. Her grandson, Logan, I think, got 13.9. Mm-hmm. So shout out to you, Logan.
So it's actually like a competition.
Yeah,
so it's
allowed to do it. You're allowed, only your first try counts. You can do it as many times as you want, guess. But your first try is the only one that really counts. I don't know if they let the adults do it or not. Listen, Wyatt Earp.
Hey, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, sounds fun.
There's also a taxidermy booth right behind us.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. What's her
Dead set.
Dead set taxidermy.
Yep.
She's local here to Medina.
Yeah, I believe Wadsworth.
Yeah, not far from you.
Yep.
She's your direct competition.
Out. Right. Yeah, for Triple J.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then there's the snakes behind us.
And that actually
right
gets
behind
a lot,
us
a
on
lot
the couch,
of people.
Actually.
Yeah. There's a boa constrictor like 9 inches from your head.
Which,
but that's actually been a big hit too. There's always a lot of people online snakes.
Yep.
Who doesn't want to touch reptiles? So.
Cabela's is here. Yodi and ours
here. Yep.
Isaac Walton League is here. The Medina Raptor Center, which is Chatham.
Mm-hmm.
They are here. Lanphier's Lawn Service is a big sponsor. They're not here. They just got equipment.
Yeah.
I think they're the one that kind of like sponsored.
I think they do the main sponsorship.
Okay. Yeah.
The Axe Throwing Timber Beast. Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you're a local Medina person that's on 18 in Medina, it's actually kind of fun to go for like an
hour. Are they in here or are they out there?
Right there.
Oh. Yeah, they're big inflatable.
I haven't
there.
Even
You're
walked
not
around.
Throwing a real axe here, though. But
yeah, a little Velcro.
Just Velcro
things.
Stickies.
Yeah. But no, it's good.
I enjoy it.
Hopefully it's something for the future. You know,
It keeps getting bigger, so I believe they'll keep up with it every year.
Yeah.
It's cool to get the word out for what we do and sportsmen in Medina County and It's nice to sit here in the air conditioning and hang out for the week. And,
oh, yeah. It's just nice in here.
You know, see all the people we usually see and talk to. It's just a big social event.
Still an excuse to come to the fair.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's also real weird to record a podcast with 200 people around.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that weird to me. But
I'm sure people can hear it on the audio, but...
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that not more people have just kind of stopped and watched it.
Well, there's been a couple of people that are like looking at the camera. Those guys are recording.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell maybe a little bit from the background noise. Oh, we are just
depends on how good Gavin's audio editing is, depending on how much.
Well, it's going to be trash. So.
Yeah.
You have to get some pointers from Isaac. He's our technical guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, enough of the fair, I think. I don't know if this podcast will air by the time the fair is over.
Yeah,
probably not.
It'll probably be next week.
Probably next week.
So. Do you guys have a set day you release your podcast?
When we're doing them weekly. I think I was on a Tuesday morning. Okay. I kind of forget now. It's been so long. Yeah. But
let's talk 2024 plans, deer season. I know Isaac's got some plans going out west here.
Yeah, Isaac's up first.
Yeah, I leave in 12 days. Damn. 12 days from now, me and Dylan are headed to a western state to hunt high country mule deer.
A western state. Oh, okay.
We're keeping it a little bit on the wraps.
Keeping it on the down, though.
We've said it before, though.
Yeah, we have.
I slipped that up. It's
the same place that we're going, that we've been before. And people have watched our past videos and they're like, oh, I know exactly where you guys are. So,
really? Yeah.
We can do our best to distract from it a little bit, but people will find out. Not that hard.
And how long are you going to be out there for?
2 weeks.
Two weeks?
We have 16 days, so 2 weeks of hunting, pretty much.
And you have a mule deer? You said mule deer, right?
Yeah, what's your goal?
Yeah.
So we also, without giving too much away, there's also elk tags on the table.
Okay.
We haven't
decided
if we're going for that yet.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I think you guys will. If you kill early enough, mule deer-wise.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to buy one before.
Well,
the last time you hunted Zeri, you filmed a literal 350-inch bull.
Yeah. Probably be bigger than that. But if anybody keeps track of Utah, this is a previously limited entry hunt, which is now general season.
You said the state.
Oh, shit. Regardless, the way this state works is now it's over the counter. So we're expecting to run into a lot more pressure.
Gotcha.
So hunting elk in the elk country, we may want to just avoid that.
Yeah.
We're probably going to be up in the high country hunting mule deer.
Yeah. So fill me in. What you said, you're going for 2 weeks. Is that going to be 2 weeks tent camping up in the mountains?
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah. So we have no plans to stay anywhere else but where we're hunting.
Okay.
We have a whole bunch of different zones picked out. Probably like five different places we can hunt. Obviously, we're going to our number one place first.
Yeah.
And if that works out like it did in the past, we'll be there the whole time.
Okay.
You killed a buck there last time you went.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we saw a lot of deer. We weren't really prepared for the way the hunting was. If we would have been more prepared, we probably could have been more successful.
Yeah.
But it's just super high and dry.
Really?
We weren't prepared to pack water like we had to.
Yeah.
We were hoping to camp on water, but that is not going to happen.
Yeah. Matt put an arrow through a giant, right?
Yeah.
You guys were there.
So he skimmed the top of probably a 150, 160 inch.
Wow.
60 Damn. Yards. Just skimmed its back, and then I shot that fork or so.
Yeah.
We'll see. We have pretty high expectations, but we're also...
So elk probably wouldn't open up till like the first...
It's the same time.
Oh, same time, really?
Yeah, so...
So you could get a velvet elk?
That elk we filmed...
That 350-inch bull was in velvet.
The day before the season, he was shedding his velvet.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what the hell would you do with that if you shot it?
The season starts August 15th, so...
Huh. I didn't know it opened that early.
Yeah. So I don't know.
This is a new, we don't want to give too much away, right?
Yeah. But
it's a new Western style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Usually they take access away and opportunities get more limited for non-residents and stuff with the Western hunting game. This one's unique.
Yeah.
These guys are going to drive from Ohio and possibly shoot a 350-inch velvet elk over the counter.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. So it is possible, but the way these states work, this state in particular, they decided they wanted to give tags for opportunity instead of trophy potential. So they completely changed their game, and now they're giving out unlimited tags for certain units.
It's the way Colorado used to be.
And this is the first year for that.
Second year.
So there's probably still trophy potential in that unit.
From what I know, we know a local out there. He said there was 40 bulls killed off this one mountain range that we're hunting
last year. Jeez.
I feel like that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's like a lot.
That's a lot. So he's expecting scorched earth.
Was that bull killed, the big one?
No. He's
a world record now.
He's a local enough that he would know if a bull like that got shot.
Is he the guy that Snapchats me every day?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And he said it did not get killed because it's a real. Yeah. Huh. Maybe that bull's still up there. Maybe not.
I mean, what would you do if you shot that thing? That's a $5,000 taxidermy bill.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, you'd have to put off building your house another year.
It'd be worth it.
Yeah, because if he's still alive, that's an 8 or 9 year old bull. He's probably 400 inches.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So what? Anything else throughout October, November?
Just hunting here at home. Our normal deer camp in West Virginia. Yep. And possibly
we're going to.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah. Let me slide in.
Yeah. I'm getting there.
Because that's it for him.
Okay.
Yeah. Western wise.
That's the Western trip. First time I only have one tag in my pocket in the past 4 years.
Okay.
So that's a little weird.
You guys got a trip planned in what, a month, right?
Yeah, we're going opening Kentucky opener. We're going down.
What? When's the opener this year?
7th, I think.
The 7th.
7th or 8th. It's that
weekend.
Second.
Yeah.
It's the first.
It's kind of late. So
a little bit later. I think we were down there on like. When we went, I think it was the 4th.
It's always the first full Saturday, Sunday, which sometimes falls on the 1st or 2nd or, earlier. But the 7th and the 8th is like the latest it could possibly fall, and that's what it's falling on.
Gotcha.
Year.
Yeah. So. And going to that a little bit, Ethan was down there last year, and he ended up picking up a little piece of gold.
Yeah, he went down to hunt public. He did like the mobile hunter thing. So he bought his saddle, practiced in the yard all summer. This was last year.
Yeah.
Went down there to some public land, pulled up on, he did a bunch of map scouting and all that. Pulled up on a gate on public land where he wanted to hunt, and he ran into a whole bunch of trucks. It was four or five trucks down
there. Like, oh, shit.
He ended up, making friends with those guys. They were all out-of-staters, too, I believe. Maybe one guy was from Kentucky. The rest were out-of-state Ohio guys. Okay. But he ended up making friends with them, and he hunted some public for a couple days. But if you've ever hunted public land, you guys have.
Yeah,
you
did it sucked.
But you were in a different area than where we had been going.
We were there for a whole week, and I think I saw like 4 deer. So
we went down in 2020.
I think we were there for 4 days.
4 or 5 days, and we saw 4 or 5 deer combined.
All of us.
Okay.
So these big Kentucky public land areas, they hunt pretty good during the rut because it's heavily wooded.
Oh, yeah. Big timber.
But for September, when it's 100 degrees with ticks everywhere,
miserable,
the deer just don't move during the day.
So not to mention
the deer density there is not very high anyway.
No, very low. So Ethan was getting a little bit frustrated, so he started driving around looking, asking permission, and he just happened to stumble upon a farmer, got in his good graces. It's 100+ acres. It's a real nice setup. It's got ponds. It's got fields. He hunts it with there's one other local guy that hunts it. Mm-hmm. Ethan got in contact with that guy, so they've been able to communicate so they don't step on each other's toes.
Yeah.
But he ended up hunting it last year down there, filmed a bunch of bucks, got within 50 yards of some 2 or 3 year old bucks. Never ended up drawing his bow or anything, but it's real promising type stuff.
Yeah.
Kept in touch with the landowner, kept in touch with the other hunter all year.
Did that other hunter ever kill anything?
That I don't know. I don't think so. He sends Ethan some intel from time to time.
Okay. Is he going to be there when you guys go?
I think he's going to invite him, to come hunt with us.
Oh, okay.
So we're doing a camp down there this year, the brothers. There's some other guys like joining us to help film or just kind of hang out in camp. He got an Airbnb. We've been running trail cameras down there since about early June, I think.
Yeah,
on a mineral lick.
For a while, that was our hottest.
It was a while.
Yeah, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
There's at least 3 bucks that I would shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
maybe 4, probably about 7 that Ethan would shoot. I mean, there's the ones pushing mid-140s probably, a couple other ones high 130s in velvet, like deer that we would definitely kill, especially in velvet.
Oh, yeah.
What is your minimum with an out-of-state buck like that?
Well,
we've talked about this before.
We've talked about this a bunch.
It's
basically, I'm not going to shoot a younger deer. So my minimum's still probably going to be, I would like to still kill that 4-year-old 130 class whitetail.
Yep.
I've passed a lot in West Virginia that are smaller than that. I ended up passing a couple in Indiana on our trips. We've gone on that 100-inch 2-year-old range, maybe even smaller, like 90 to 100-inch 2-year-old range. I just don't got it in me.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't need to kill him for the content.
Right. A full velvet 110 walks in front of you. What do you
probably doing? Not.
Really?
Yeah.
Then
my wife's going to – I'm going to bring it home.
So the buck up there
– my wife's going to cry.
That's probably 110-inch buck, right?
The top
one.
No, the bottom one in the front.
Well, both are the same.
Did we score? I think Sammy's like, might have been closer to 120.
I think it was like 118.
Okay. Yeah.
So if that buck comes out in velvet.
Probably not.
Really?
Well, no. Because I'm not. I might. So, to be honest, I would probably shoot that buck in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And skull mount it at home.
Yeah.
But if I'm shooting a velvet buck, I'm getting it mounted. And if I brought that home,
a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah. If I brought that home and spent $1,500, my wife's gonna be like, "Why'd you shoot that deer?" You know, so I mean, I don't need to kill just indiscriminately kill, but there are three bucks on camera down there that sure they come in front of me. I'm killing.
Right. Gotcha.
140 class 10 point. There's a 6x4 that's probably pushing close to 140, mm-hmm. and then there's another 5x4 that's like low 130s. Yeah.
It's always
all day. I'm shooting those deer if they come out. Yeah. Those three deer are getting it.
Yeah. It's always interesting to ask that question before the trip, but then during the trip,
day three when you've sweated everything you could sweat out,
that deer's gonna be looking real good,
really, really nice.
Yeah,
it's yes gonna be no. hot.
Because I want to do it justice. If I'm killing it, I'm making a big mound of it.
Yeah.
You know, or some type, you know, if I do a skull mount, I can make a cool plaque and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's all about the memories and stuff. But I, you know, shooting that 110-inch 2-year-old or 110-inch 3-year-old right now is just, I don't feel like it's probably in the cards for me anymore. Isaac's probably killing that deer all day.
Yeah. That deer right there.
Isaac, are you gone? Did I miss that?
No, I'm not going.
You're not going.
I'll just be coming back a couple days before.
I think we have a pretty good group coming down.
Is Luke gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's us three, me, Luke, and Ethan.
Gotcha.
I believe Born Again Matt's coming.
Okay.
Just to hang out.
Oh, really?
I don't know if he's going to hunt much.
He has property
that's not far from where we're at.
Yeah.
His group's not coming. So I think he just wants to come down and hang out, and then he might film one of us or, you know, it all depends. Like there's a lot on the table. And then Nick Schlau might also come down.
Okay.
He's kind of kicked the idea around. Ethan invited him. He's the family man too, though, so it's kind of hard to find the 4 days. But we'll be down there for the opener.
Two
kids, yeah.
Yeah, hands full.
So we'll be down there for the opener. We're showing up Friday. Packers play Friday night, so that's going to be cool. Watch the Packers in the Airbnb and then on Saturday morning. Yeah.
Hopefully you guys can kill something.
Yeah, it works. I mean, this will be year two of Ethan hunting the property, so he has a good layout of, you know, how it hunts. We've got the trail cameras down there. I would assume one of us is going to get an opportunity at one of these deer. I mean, that's
ideal situation when you're an out-of-state hunter. Is exactly what Ethan did last year and find a farmer and just get in tight with him.
He did a good job.
And it might lead to hunting for the next 10, 15 years.
Exactly.
You never know.
Yeah. He did a great job with that.
That's something I want to happen.
I'm pretty proud
looking
of
for that for a while.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got cameras down there. I know you guys have surely put a ton of cameras up here. I heard you talking a little bit earlier. You're selling a lot of your cell cams here at the show.
I'm selling every cell cam I have that's old. All my Spartans are stealth, so all my Maltries are Tacticams. And we switched to WiseEye about a week and a half ago.
Correct.
The main part being cost, the fact that we can, our group, so Simon Burrows Outdoors, the Deer Shop Podcast guys, our main group of guys, we can all go in on a plan together. I called the owner of the company. Mm-hmm. I called the company and I ended up talking to the owner. I'm like, you know, I want to buy X amount of cameras.
Cool.
We're going to run in all these different states. And I specifically asked him, how many people can be logged into my app with all these cameras? The number is 50.
Really?
You can have 50 guys logged
on. That's something I asked Ethan. And that's
can you put on there?
Unlimited.
Really?
Really?
As long as you run 12, you can run the ranch plan. It's unlimited. I think they might cap it at like 100.
But you
like,
have 12 so far?
Yeah, we bought 12. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
We bought 12 and started it, and we're going to add to it as we go. We're spreading them out, though. There's cameras that are going to go to Pennsylvania, Indiana. We've got cameras to take down to West Virginia, Southern Ohio, up here.
So with that 12, what's the cost breakdown?
$6 per month per camera, plus any data you use.
And that's unlimited, too.
So you can use, if you use 50 gigs, you pay for 50 gigs. If you use 1 gig, pay for 1 gig.
And what do you say are forecasted?
It's $10 per gig. Okay. This month, we're on pace to use 1.8 gigs. Plus the 12 cameras, total cost is $88 to run 12
for 12 cameras.
Yeah. That's requesting videos and HD pictures.
Just to compare to my Tacticams, those were $15.99 a month per camera.
I just sent an email to Tacticam. They're current because I canceled my Tacticam subscription and I got like 5 emails from 5 different employees at Tacticam.
Oh, really?
I got from some lady, some guy, the main camera, Scrape Fix emailed me, which is like a subsidiary of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I got all these emails like, oh, we're so, because we were big customers of theirs.
Yeah.
Not big, but mean, we spent money there.
Yeah, 15, 20 cameras.
Yeah. And I told him I broke down the research. Tacticam, you can buy the yearly plan per camera for the unlimited, and it works out to be $10 per camera for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay $120 for each camera, and if you know, and then you pay it one time upfront fee, you get to run unlimited pictures the whole year.
Gotcha.
That works out to, in the end, it's a lot more expensive than the Wise Eye plan. So if we were running 12 cameras on Tacticam at $10 a month, which is $120 a year, times 12 is $1,440.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we're saving a couple hundred bucks a
year. If we're around the $80 to $100 range for 12, you know, Wise Eyes, we're already $440 cheaper just to run it the way we're running it. Obviously, our usage will increase in October, November.
Yep.
So we're going to use more data. But then in the off season, we're going to use way less data.
Yep.
And that camera's not going to be costing us anything but the $6. You can't cancel them throughout the year. So, like, I had to run plan for a whole year.
Yeah, but you guys usually do that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's February and March, early April, when all the bucks finally shed and the turkeys aren't back yet.
Yeah.
We don't really run a lot of trail cameras in that period of time. But we can throw them up and do whatever. Just I mean, we'll bite the bullet for 2 months if it makes us save money in the long run.
I guess,
So the cost is a big one. We're already saving, just with the same amount of cameras, roughly $400 to $500 a year by switching to Wise Eye.
Well, and that wasn't even the major.
And that was half of our cameras. We were on Spartans as well. So
half the factor wasn't the price; it was the quality we were getting with the reveals.
Unfortunately, with Tacticam, when you first buy any of their models and you put them out in the woods, the first like 6 to 8 months that they're sending you pictures, the ones that are coming through, even the thumbnail version, which is the lower resolution, was nice and crisp. Some of our Tacticams back there are 3-4 years old. They're sending literal potato finger paint quality pictures.
Really? Yeah.
You have a buck 10 feet in front of the camera in daylight, you can't tell how many points it is.
Yeah,
daylight. I mean, it's embarrassing. And if it's something where the camera degrades over time, Tacticam should tell you that and offer you some type of like trade-in or something.
Yeah.
You make an investment when you're spending this money. And I understand the cameras are not replaceable. It's not like you're buying a car with a warranty,
right?
You know, spending all this money. It's $100 piece of electronic. If it breaks, it breaks. It's done. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the quality of the pictures would go down, every year,
And
we were just having a real hard time seeing what the deer were with the Tacticam.
And they were dropping pictures too.
They
would not send pictures. You go check the camera a month later, and there'd be 50 pictures that you didn't get.
Yeah, I've heard that with a couple different brands.
That happened to me a lot with the Spartans, actually.
Spartans, yeah.
I actually preferred my Spartans over the Tacticams, but they were dropping a lot of pictures.
Really?
The Spartans are a high-quality trail camera, but they're expensive.
Yeah, they're high in price.
I mean, the Go Live I have back there for sale, brand new, is $450.
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy 4 Wise Eyes, 4 Tacticams for that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. Shouldn't be dropping pictures.
For a camera that'll send a video, the only thing that camera had on all the other ones is you could go live on it, like in real time.
Yeah.
Which I did 3 times in an entire year. At 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to go live to watch a buck hit a scrape. You're okay with a 10-second video.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
the price point, if you do it when you're hunting, you're breaking the law.
Yeah, that brings up a whole new, that brings up a whole different game. Yeah. So we made the switch to Wise Eye.
How many plans or how many cameras do you plan on running by this fall? Ooh. You said you have 12 now.
12 now.
I guess
that's me, that's the four of us, plus Gore and Matt. Gore has 2 farms. Matt's got 1 right now, and he's working on maybe another, but... we'll probably add 6 to 8 more.
How many cell cams did you have before you made the switch?
Oh God! If you include all that, if you include the 6 of us that we're talking about, so 4 of us brothers, plus Gore and Matt. Matt was running 4. Gore was running 3. That's 7. I had 11 or 12, which is 19. Ethan had 5, which is 24. Isaac had 3 or 2, which is 22. Luke had 4, which
so probably we're like
26. 26 to 30. Not including Tyler and Nick.
Yeah.
Who are also kind of part of the group, but they keep their plans separate because they're hunting separate leases. But they had an additional 20.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were on 46 cameras.
Yeah.
I think
it got expensive quick.
Like 8.
And we plan on running
8 or 9 now.
I'm at 8 right now.
And then Drake's got
Drake's probably got 4 or 5.
4 or 5.
Yeah. Me and Drake kind of.
Yeah. So we probably, as a collective group, maybe maybe 20.
20 yeah. something.
And we plan 20. On running less on purpose. So I assume we'll add 6 to 8 more to run around 18 to 20.
Yeah.
Because we were just relying on trail cameras. Yeah. That really fucked with my.
Yeah, I heard you saying this earlier.
Yeah. I was hunting the deer that you kill. Anyone that watches either one of our videos or YouTube channels or listens to us, you know, it's your guys' logo, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You guys all know that we were both hunting the same buck.
Yeah.
And I was relying too much on the cell cams. He'd show up here in daylight, so I'd go hunt that stand, and then he'd show up here in daylight, and then I'd move. It was a mess. Yeah. You know, and that's not the way I want to hunt.
I definitely can see what you're saying.
I felt almost dirty doing it that way. Yeah. You know, like, you're relying on electronics and trail cameras and telling me how to hunt. Like, I killed all those bucks back in the day without using cell cams at all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, I'm going to go back to that way.
Spoil you.
The only, like, so there's a huge advantage. Like, do you miss the days where, you know, you still run a bunch of non-cells?
I run more non-cells than cells. So I still have, we did it today.
And then you go grab cards,
like,
and you're like, oh, what's
this? It's like Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Eve.
Like, when we go to West Virginia, when we go to Southern Ohio, our camp's down there, we grab the memory cards, and everyone gets around the computer, and we put it up on the TV.
Exactly, that's what we did in Michigan. It was awesome.
Even with, like, cheap stealth cams or Maltries or Wild Games or the Tascos, when you look at the picture up on the screen, you see things that you wouldn't notice in the cell cam picture.
Oh yeah,
like, oh yeah, there's this doe triggered the camera, but holy shit,
what's in the back?
There's a 150 inch buck.
Yeah,
I was watching this guy to make sure he doesn't knock your camera.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a 150 inch buck back there in the trees on a cell cam picture. You're looking at it on your phone. You're like, eh. You wouldn't even look at it.
Yeah,
like, so when you scroll through stuff, you notice a lot more.
Yeah,
plus the video quality.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's great.
On non-cells.
Yeah. The only, like, down south at my cabin, you know, tons of non-cells usually throw out every year. And I've recently started putting cells down there. I didn't really want to originally, just because you roll down there into camp, you hop on the four-wheeler, go around, pull a card, you're like, bam, it's here. But then you're like, oh, damn, he was here last week. Yeah. And now he's like, he's only showed up once in the last 4 days.
Yeah, could have came down last weekend, but now you're here.
Yeah, I could have came down any time. So now I've started to run, you know, 1 to 2, and it'll just tell me, you know, when he's there. I'll hop and truck be down there that weekend.
And there's that fine line of a hunting property, like, an hour away compared to, like, the hunt properties that are 5 hours away. Yeah. That's not going to make a difference.
And that's exactly why we started doing it. You know, Southern Ohio is 2 hours and 10 minutes. West Virginia is 4 hours and 30. Mm-hmm. We're going to run cameras because, you know, we got a buck in West Virginia we've been hunting for 4 years. We call him the Mountain Monster. He's a mountain, at least 6 to 8 year old, 150 inch 10 point. Mm-hmm. I mean,
monster.
He is the ultimate deer of all ultimate deer. And he shows up in daylight every year, like the week before we go down to these hills. And we just don't know it, you know, because we're checking the cell camera, going down for gun season or our bow trip. And he was there in and out for 3 or 4 days, you know, running these ridges, hitting scrapes in daylight. And we weren't there. You know, if we get a tip that, you know, that deer is hitting scrapes in daylight, I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, we're going.
Be down there. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And so that's the advantage. Yeah. You know?
And I wouldn't say that's like it's an aid to your hunt, but, like, it's not overstepping
it's not
the line,
dirty.
It's
I mean, it's no different what we're doing up here.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Look the way we hunt now with all the technology.
Well, it'll kind of be impossible in West Virginia to ever do that because there's no service down there.
Well, we can get service on top of the mountains where we're going to run a couple of these cell cams. And the data cams by Wiseye have dual antennas. Mm. So they'll suck up any little chance of signal.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to run a couple cameras way up top on some scrapes. We got some areas where there's some good runs and there's scrapes every year. So we'll throw the camera on that and, you know, hopefully it works.
Hmm.
How has our first week of the Wiseyes been? Because I know we're kind of blowing them, but
we don't
really have any experience with them just yet.
I don't like the app that much. So it's hard for me to go from the Spartan and the Tacticam app, which are probably two of the best.
Yeah.
They're probably the two best cell camera apps on the market. The Wiseye app is, like, noticeably less. It's just kind of cheap. The way it shows you the pictures is a little bit chintzy.
And I like the way the videos show up, though.
The videos play well.
So do you have to request those? Because I've seen them in the app.
Yep. You got to request the videos. It's the same as Tacticam and Spartan. Like, sometimes you request a video and it pops in right away because, like, there's still a connection with the camera. Mm-hmm. Other times you got to wait until it checks in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then other times you got to wait 24 hours. You know, it's not instantaneous, similar to the other apps. But I would say the app is the weak point. So far, I mean, they're taking pictures. We're not getting a ton of blanks. The quality is good. They're doing exactly what we want. And for the price we're paying, I'm impressed.
It's been a no-brainer you bought so far.
Yeah.
Gavin bought some.
So. I bought five.
Yeah.
I bought them used, and I haven't put them out yet or anything, really. So kind of waiting. I got a bunch of non-sells out right now. That's kind of like what I do in the summer. I don't really mess with the sell.
We usually don't until about September.
Yeah.
But this year, we made a switch. So
yeah, which I probably will here within the next 2 weeks or so. I'll start getting some out. But it's just a bunch of non-sells out for me right now.
So. Have you ever tried running cameras out west to any degree, Isaac? Like
Well, so the state I'm going to this year, you can't run them past July 31st. Yeah. But last year, Jay took some cameras to Montana, and he actually got some pictures of some nice bulls.
Yeah.
Where he was hunting all in the middle of the night, all at water holes.
Yeah, just.
But I've never taken any.
That's always crossed my mind. You know, just throwing on a wallow or a water hole or something.
I think
and just,
we got to stack it next to the nine there. Other cameras that are on that. Tree.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Add
probably.
Your camera to the.
It depends on where you go, but a lot of states are like that, especially on the water sources. Next year, I'm planning on going back to Montana, so I may take a camera or two because of the time I'm out there. I can set them up on a certain spot and then come back a week later and see what was there.
Yeah.
But I'll have to look up the cell cam rules too.
Western
states are weird.
It's changing monthly. It changes.
Oh, yeah.
Iowa's going through some big thing.
They
right
basically
now.
They dropped it.
Axed everything.
Yeah.
Oh, they so did.
They had all those rule changes, and then hunters came out by the droves and said, literally, fuck you. We're not doing it. And then
there was so much gray area.
Okay. And they
it
just
was never going to work.
Pulled it off, and it's still Wild West out there. You can still do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But they tried to basically ban cell cameras. And all cameras on public land.
Yeah.
It backfired. Yeah. The lobbyists probably had something to do with that. I'm sure Spartan and Tacticam and all those companies
big money
went to the state and we're suing you right now for $1 billion.
$1 billion. Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So
it's
kind of hard to take stuff back.
Yeah.
Once you allow it, it's hard to reel it back.
It is.
Yeah. Iowa was going to set the example and they cowered.
Yeah,
like a bunch of pussies and ran. So.
Yeah, somebody will. It's
well,
the same
there
as,
are some Western states that do have true camera bans.
It's the same as the drone thing. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I was just looking up the rules on taking a drone to take some B roll and stuff in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Big no.
Really?
48 hours before or after you hunt, you can't use them.
Oh, for the hunting purposes.
You can't fly at all.
Really?
So if you fly,
it's like Alaska with the flying and the plane.
You can't hunt the same day.
If you fly the drone, you can't hunt for 48 hours.
Really?
And you can't do it for 48 hours after you're done hunting for whatever reason.
Oh, really?
Like, I know some of the states, if you're making money off YouTube videos or whatever, monetizing off the video, you have to apply for permits.
Pennsylvania's that way.
Is it?
Yeah,
have you guys ever messed with? Yeah.
fuck it. I mean, come get me. You know what I mean? Basically, get me.
I've listened to a lot of podcasts on the manor when it comes to national forests and filming and yada, yada, yada. You technically need permits for all this.
Yeah.
But everybody does it anyway.
Right, right. I think there's like a loophole to where if it's either entertainment.
I think it's your main source of income. So I think the fact that this isn't our main source of income.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just
considered
doing it as a hobby.
Right.
I think we're covered underneath a couple laws like that. That's what stops Lucasfilm to come in and film Star Wars in the Hoosier National Forest
without getting a permit.
That's their source of income. They had to go through the proper channels, and they tried to lump our YouTube channels in with like movie studios,
right? Basically.
But it's just simply not.
Yeah, it's different.
And you might run into a bigger issue with Latitude filming for them because technically they're pushing a product and making a film, and it's a little different, but.
Yeah,
the liability ain't on you.
So. We haven't took a whole deep dive into it. I know when I went through schooling, they mentioned about it. It was kind of like a gray area. And
there's a podcast to listen to by Gritty. If you listen to any of the Gritty Bowman podcasts,
I don't think so.
But he had a bear film that the National Park Service came and took down.
Really?
Because he didn't have the permits to do it.
Yeah.
Huh. But there's a whole. He was hunting with somebody that was a foreigner, and it was a whole. It was a whole thing.
Yeah. Some of the TV shows I do work for apply for permits, and they do that on their own. That's one of their main sources of income. For Latitude, we haven't messed with anything.
Run into the issue.
Yeah. I think it's more of a...
You have to be big enough for them to come get you.
Yeah. And it's more of a Western thing. We haven't done any Montana, Utah, or, Colorado. We haven't done any of that. It's all, Midwest public stuff, which You said Pennsylvania is.
Yeah, because there was a.
I didn't know.
There was a pod, or they talked about it with the Public Land Challenge the one year with THP.
Oh, okay.
Dan Infault was there and some of those guys. They kind of talked about how it's like technically illegal, but they don't enforce it. So.
And that's another thing because THP was getting so big.
Yeah, and this is all because of THP. They're, you know, they took something that was such a small niche market, which is hunting on public land and making a YouTube video. There were people doing it before THP, but they were just so few and far between and really wasn't that popular. THP busted on the scene 2017. Boom. Like millions of people are doing it, you know, or hundreds of thousands of people are doing it now. So it, it kind of started bringing the rules to more and forefront.
It also depends on what kind of land you're hunting on. If you're national forest, if you're state management land, if you're WMA.
That's where we get away with it too, because a lot of the times when we're doing our public land hunts, we're not actually hunting a national forest. We're hunting a WMA, something that's owned by a timber company that's open to the public. Yep. You know, so they would have to prove that the money we made from the portion of the film that's shown on the screen was filmed on, you know, it gets real difficult quick.
There is some lobbying organizations. I can't remember what it's called, but they're trying to change the laws to where if you're a single man crew and you're not disturbing anything that you can get away without a permit. There's all these things happening. And it was one of the podcasts I listened to. It was a like a van life, like a vlogger person. They were running into the same issues because they were filming their van life in Yellowstone or whatever without a permit. And they got in trouble. But it went to the Supreme Court and they ruled with the people that were making the film that they were just doing it as a hobby and blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah,
we kind of have that to back us as well.
Case law.
Because there's a lot more people that film camping and hiking.
Right.
All that
fishing.
Crap. On the national park. It's
really, that's more exposing than what we're doing. I mean, you really can't see any, like, we try to make it.
But so the whole point of us
can't
being
see anything.
In
yeah,
we're like, somewhere in this
nothing,
state. You
know? It's nothing but, like, timber and, like, a tight shot of elk and deer and, like, you know, maybe some landscape shots, like, when we're 5 miles down the road. What else is going on?
So we're doing that. That was piggybacking off the Kentucky thing.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Kentucky.
Then our normal Ohio October, you know, I'll probably be going between Southern Ohio up here.
Yeah.
I would love to potentially get to West Virginia if we can. Just depends on the schedule, you know. Everyone that's involved with our camps now is working full-time, has more than one job, has a child. I mean, it's tough to get those 3 or 4 days where you can just bug off to West Virginia like we used to.
For sure, West Virginia gun season, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. We already got, my wife already knows.
Yeah, that happens no matter what.
Yeah, that's happening.
I think this year we're going to try doing some dedicated filming more than we have in the past.
Yeah.
A lot of times in the past, we've always done solo filming type stuff.
Well, think about the pressure. Think about the pressure you put on your farm if 4 guys are going out hunting one night. Think about how much less pressure it's going to be if 2 guys go out with one guy. You know, the 4 of us are still out, but we got two stand setups with the guy filming someone. Yeah. It actually reduces the pressure in half every time we do it.
Yeah,
and big thing.
And the finished product
is so
the filming
better.
Is so,
oh,
yeah.
So much better.
It's hard to do.
You're talking about
like
doing this in West Virginia,
everywhere, anywhere we go. Too. We're just you know more hunting together, 2-man crews to get a better product.
Yeah,
you know,
and we kind of can narrow in on some deer a little bit better that way because.
Yeah.
A lot of times we have 4 people hunting small properties. There's only so many mature deer to go around.
Yeah.
So if we keep one person hunting one certain deer, then it kind of.
Yeah. I feel like we kind of do that down at my cabin.
I think we do pretty good at that overall, even.
Like down when we go to my place down south, we always team up.
Yeah.
You and Drake are like a team most of October, November.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
when it's that first week of November and things are going wild.
During gun season, like you just need guns in the woods. The more people we get in the woods, the better.
Yeah.
The content suffers, obviously, because guys like Chris, who don't film much on their own, they're not going to film. Chris's dad ain't going to have a guy filming him.
Right.
You know, if it was turkey season and we were down there, we'd have a camera guy with every hunter.
Yep.
But, you know, during that kind of gun season, we're just going to have fun with it. But October, late October, early November area, we are looking to do Indiana for a couple days. I didn't tell you, but I told Matt the cabin we've been renting is no longer available to rent.
Oh, really?
Really?
Somebody moved in there?
The owner messaged me, and his father-in-law is going to move in.
Oh, really?
I think his father-in-law is a little bit older. And
he's going to live there?
Yeah, he's going to live there, so it's no longer available to rent.
What if we just set up campers in his driveway and hung out with it?
He actually said, if we really can't find, he's like, if you guys can't find a place to go down there and you want to use the driveway for your campers and stuff,
really?
He said, we could probably make that work. So, like, depending on the guy's personality, the dad might be the man. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a one-bedroom cabin with, but like, if we could use the kitchen and the living room and the bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. There are other Airbnbs. Yeah, like, we're going to look into the one you guys use.
Oh, that one was so nice.
Right. So, like, we have options.
It slept a lot. Like, if you get a, I mean, a good group.
I'm going, sleeping in a cot. I'll be fine. You know, I
they had a big king size, two queens, and, like, two bunks, so there's four singles.
So we do want to do that trip again.
Yeah.
I know Born Again Bow Hunting wants to do it as well. That's like their one trip of the year now. And they obviously are going to invite us because it was our trip originally that we kind of gave to them. And then
blah, blah, blah.
But yeah, so they're going to go. We're not sure whether it's just going to be camping in the National Forest or getting an Airbnb. They're going to go. I'm going to try to go up there at least for 3 or 4 days with them if I can.
Yeah.
Did they give you a time frame yet?
We're doing it weather dependent.
Weather dependent.
We're not fucking with that.
And like, but is it going to be right at the end of October? Like prime,
before. So their prime gun season comes in the second Saturday of November.
I think it's a hard 15th.
Or maybe the hard. Regardless, you only got 2 weeks before the gun starts. So we're going to do it before that.
Yeah.
With weather dependent. So. We want to make that trip. I know they've already invited it. They've said something to a couple other YouTube channels. The Venari Effect is one that they want to kind of team up with this year for that trip. And the Mobile Hunter Expo guys, they want to team up with those guys. And then obviously we're invited. You guys are always invited too, since you were at the original.
Yeah, I loved it.
If you guys can make it, or you know, Gavin and Drake, if you're busy, Gavin and Drake
going on back there,
watching in the background,
you might be able to see it. Maybe not. But no, I loved it there the first year. I was in Indiana the same time last year, and I almost drove down by myself to meet up with you guys. I would have been able to hunt for like 2 or 3 days. Instead, I drove home, and then I got a call like the next day and was back down in Cincinnati
filming
another hunt. So
last year's camp atmosphere was like the best. It was really good. Yeah. It was a really good camp atmosphere. We all cooked together every night. We hung out. We watched TV. We bullshit. We podcasted.
Yeah.
The hunting sucked.
Yeah. Yeah,
they killed a buck opening day,
kind of like on an archery drive.
Yeah, it was, what they thought it was ended up not being exactly what it was. It sounds like they kind of bumped a deer to a guy who was setting up, and he killed it. He did a great job, Kevin. Killed a really good buck down there. They killed a really, really good buck, almost 140-inch nine point.
Dang good deer.
But then, throughout the rest of the week, when we were actually doing hunting and not having deer bumped around and stuff.
Just year and a half.
We just saw a bunch of year and a half year olds. I think they shot at 1 or 2 year and a half year olds. So.
Yeah.
It was just a slow because it was literally 80 plus degrees again. Early November, 80 plus degrees. Late October, early November. So
I know we were.
So we're going weather dependent this year. We're not jumping the gun. Yeah. If it's gonna be that hot, we're just not going.
Not worth it.
And then I want to get to Pennsylvania. I was talking to these guys.
Pennsylvania.
This will be the last one I go on. I promise that you guys can hear them talk. But I want a tent camp, Pennsylvania hunt. National Forest up there and just move around, chase bears, chase bucks with our bows, mobile hunting 3 or 4 days, eating Peak refuels and mountain houses out of bags with a cheap tent, and just do that lifestyle for 3 or 4 days. I'm really looking forward to that. We're running cameras up there now. Ethan's got cameras.
You turkey hunt that this spring?
I ended up not going. So I had two different trips planned to go up, and I canceled both of them because of rain. And my baby was born right before trout camp, so I didn't go for that. And then we had two turkey hunting trips that we canceled because of the rain. Yeah. You know, driving up there and hunting in the rain is just not a smart place.
Yeah, it's. Yeah,
but I haven't been up there yet this year, so I'm looking forward to that heavily.
Yeah, that's. I've never messed with Pennsylvania.
We went turkey hunting a couple years ago. And I go every year to trout.
Dylan killed a gobbler up there this year.
Yeah.
He went by himself, killed a gobbler.
Have you ever thought about it for deer, though?
No, not deer.
Pennsylvania has a really bad, like, reputation.
Yeah.
I say I want to go hunt Pennsylvania. I was like,
I know there's a ton of deer there and Michigan. Like,
I mean, Ethan was getting 130 plus.
It's just a well-kept secret.
Like, close to 140 class deer on camera in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, when we were
turkey are bucks there.
When we were turkey on it, we had a guy come up to us and show us a picture of, like, a true probably 50s.
Yeah.
It would have been a 50s.
We ran into a guy when we were turkey on 2 years ago. He's like, oh, my buddy killed a 150 right down the road there. Like, literally, we were on an access road. He's like, down the access road, take a right in that ravine. Shot a 150 with his bow, like October 19th. I'm like,
Wow.
It's only supposed to be eight.
Not supposed to be telling
here.
Me that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that, I mean, that's our, that's the closest state line to us probably.
Yeah. I mean, we can, the area we go to, and so we all go there to fish. Everyone,
right.
You know, yeah. You watch any of our videos, y'all know we all go up there to fish together.
Yep. You get there in 3 hours.
Less yeah. than three, yeah. Less less than three hours, you're there.
I guess.
You can be fishing in 2 hours and 20 minutes.
What yep. is it to the line? You know?
Oh, an hour.
Hour.
Half.
Isn't it an hour not and a half?
I think yeah. it's like 45 to an hour,
yeah,
I think.
You, okay. you can get there quick on yeah. the line. And then it'd be faster if we weren't going through back roads. We take the back roads up once we get into Pennsylvania. Yeah. We kind of jump on some back roads because it's just a better drive.
Yeah.
yeah.
Scenic and
yeah,
you know, all the little towns are awesome. And
I will say I do not see more turkeys. I take that back. Michigan this year was pretty good. But driving around when we're up there for yeah. trout camp, there is turkeys everywhere.
Oh, yeah. We've had some good battles with turkeys up there. And Dylan was finally able to kill one this yeah. year. Wasn't filming. He went up there by himself, had his hair yeah. up his ass, and ended up killing it. We were supposed to go with him, and like Ethan had something to do or something. And,
gotcha.
But he ended up killing a bird up there. So
yeah,
we know there's lots of gobblers in that area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. That's what SBO's up
that's
to.
Our plan.
We're done. That's it.
That's it.
What's Ohio's lineup looking like for you guys? You guys are working
we're
on.
Still building our hit list. We're finding yeah. some deer. It's not looking as promising as last year. Last year was just crazy. Last yeah. year was a banner year, but
yeah.
we're building a good hit list.
It's coming along.
It's coming along.
How's the food plots and stuff?
They're actually good. I did spring food plots,
yeah.
two of them this year. I never do spring food plots because you fight with weeds.
Yep.
It's a mess.
Yep.
But I put two clover chicory plots in by Domain this year. They're both doing awesome.
Okay. Are you just
even with
them
the
off?
Drought, they're awesome. I've only mowed them. I've mowed them twice now.
You didn't have to spray them with.
So I probably should spray them, but there's not a lot of weeds. There's clover chicory, and then grass, and a couple tall weeds. So I'm bringing the mower up 8 inches,
yeah.
going over the top of the clover and the chicory, and
just knocking off,
whacking
the weeds.
Off the weeds.
Gotcha.
I'm impressed with them for spring plots.
Yeah.
I have three fall plots I got to do as soon as it rains.
Which hopefully.
They're basically getting ready to plant. Luke tilled one for me the other day, or today. Luke
today.
Tilled one today. And then there's two more that need tilled, but once they're tilled, they'll be ready to go. But there's
we can't plant. We can't plant until there's rain in the forecast.
Yeah. Yeah.
There hasn't been rain at our house in a month.
Yeah, it's dry as a bone out there. Desert drought. So
mm-hmm.
That's we'll the plan with us.
Well,
yeah.
Cool. Well, we've been going for about 50 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it's 50.
Caleb likes to talk.
He does.
Caleb's recording another podcast later tonight about pretty much probably all the same shit
yeah.
for our channel at home. So.
Well, yeah. If
where can they find you guys?
Yeah.
Simon Brothers Outdoors on YouTube. The Deer Shop Podcast on the streaming for podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
All our podcasts come up on YouTube.
Yep, just type in the Deer Shop Podcast. It'll pop up on YouTube as well. It's on the Simon Burrows Outdoors channel.
Yep. There's 53, 54.
Yeah, we're recording 54 tonight. There's 53 up right now. I don't know when you guys are getting this up. So 53 or 54 episodes.
Yeah, depending.
Been hammering them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once a week.
Once
that's
a week.
Good.
Once a week and only missed one because of Tyler.
You guys have any big plans for the podcast in the near future? Having anyone cool on?
Well, our next episode's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I got the Breaking Point guys are coming on
Monday.
August 5th, which is Monday. We're going to record with them. I have Jason Say coming on to do a food plot podcast sometime after the 12th. I have David Haas coming on to do another food plot podcast sometime in the next couple weeks. There's some other guys here and there. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of cool content coming up.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, we look forward to it, and
Leave us a review, please.
Yeah, if you're listening to ours,
yeah,
leave us a review, subscribe wherever you're at.
Yeah,
go over Simon's, help them out too.
Yep,
and we'll see you on the next one, folks.
Peace
later.
Peace. 40.